Would you open your Bibles, please, to the first chapter of the book of Jonah? My Bible might be slightly different, but you'll find it in your Bible. And we'll ask God's help. Father, we thank you that you are here, and we are not here by accident. We're here for your purpose. You have called us to come. And we know that you will speak to us clearly. Give us listening ears and understanding of your truth for the glory of Christ. Amen. If you were here last Sunday, you heard Dan begin this interesting and graphic book of Jonah. And next 2 weeks, we continue the series for chapters 3 and 4. But despite our opinions, and Dan mentioned this, despite any opinions we may have, Jonah is clearly presented as a historical figure, not fictional, not a fairy tale, not something that we have to manoeuvre to try and find out what it means. But what we do need to ask is, what is God's grace and mercy? Because that's the overarching aspect of Jonah's situation. What does God's grace and mercy mean to us? There's no reference to Jonah praying in chapter 1. He began to pray when he was in the belly of the fish. He cried out to God from the mouth of hell. Now, you have an outline of what we're looking at, and I want to follow that. It's a story that really makes us squirm or shake our head in amazement or wonder to try and work out what it is. Last week, Dan mentioned to us how Jonah tried to run away from God. He was a prophet of God, but he didn't like the message that he was given. So he ran as far as he could and he hopped on a ship, and the Bible says he paid the fare. An interesting comment. He paid the fare, and that always happens when we try to escape from God. Now, you'll notice our first heading is God's provision in verses 1 to 17 of chapter 2. Jonah's in the fish, and from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord God. The word "but" is in the reading. Now, there is some variation in this depending which Bible you've got, but the word "but" is significant. You have a conversation with someone and then you say, "but," and they know that something else is coming which they need to take notice of. But God provided. Now, you'll notice this word "but," or sometimes translated "yet." It means stop for a minute. It's in verse 4 and 6 and 7, twice in verse 8. And, of course, it's in chapter 1 and verse 10. And this means that we stop because God is saying, hang on a minute, I'm doing something and you need to take notice of it. God commanded. Now, we've all met people who talk about their good luck. There's no such thing as good luck or bad luck. Yes, there are circumstances which come. We go through the storms of life. We have questions that can't be easily answered. But if we turn away from the sovereign grace of God, then we're like Jonah, floundering around in the storm. And right through this book is God's sovereign grace. We make choices, as did Jonah. It was Jonah that said to the sailors, "Throw me overboard." They were pagans, and yet they came to faith in chapter 1. And in the whole account, as difficult as it is, God is in charge. And you and I go through a variety of situations. We may have illness in our family, or death, or difficulty, or children that turn the other way, or older people that go bananas in some way. God is still in charge. He is the sovereign Lord. We never have to ask him to be present, because he always is. We do need, though, to ask him to work his purposes out so that we realise what's going on. Now, why does, in this story, why are there 3 days and three nights? Well, we had the reading from Matthew chapter 12. The Bible doesn't tell us any more than the fact that as Jesus was 3 days and three nights in death, so Jonah was also 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish. Was it a whale? Well, the Bible doesn't say. It says it was a great fish. And the word that is used can be translated to refer to a sperm whale, which is one of the largest whales. And there are records around which demonstrate how these great fish are able to swallow human people alive. They don't necessarily come out alive. In fact, some whales have been discovered with soldiers in full armour from years ago, of course dead. But they have the capacity, in their eating habits, they swallow huge squid. So it was not difficult for this fish, under God's guidance, to swallow Jonah. And notice he didn't chew Jonah. He swallowed him. And that's a significant thing. Jonah was still capable, as difficult as it was. He didn't say, "Hello, someone's gnawing at me." No. The explanation of being in a great fish for so long, I can't understand. That's God's situation, and when we get to glory, we'll find out. But we think it was a sperm whale. God's provision in verse 17. But the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. But secondly, this Jonah's prayer. And this is in chapter 2 from verses 1 to 9. It begins that from inside the fish, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God. This is the first time he's prayed in the story. He didn't pray when God told him to go and preach the word to the Ninevites. He thought, no, I know better than God. I'm hopping in the other direction. But in this prayer, Jonah finally accepts responsibility and he thanks God for saving him. But notice he didn't pray for the pagan sailors. They had come to a measure of faith. If you look back in chapter 1, we're told that they threw Jonah overboard and then they greatly feared the Lord and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and made vows to him. The result was that these pagan sailors came to a measure of faith through this difficult situation. So what does the Bible tell us? In my distress, chapter 2, I called to the Lord and he answered me. From the depths of the grave, I called for help and you listened to my cry. You hurled me into the deep, into the very heart of the seas. The currents swirled about me, all your waves. Notice it's all your waves. God's in charge of the waves. All your waves and breakers swept over me. The grave here is described by the word Sheol, the realm of the dead. So this is a near-death experience that Jonah goes through. You can go through experiences like that and survive. It depends what God's desire is for our life, whether he wants us in glory or whether he leaves us as it is. Jonah was tossed overboard at his own request, but he knew as a prophet that God was working. And you'll notice back in chapter 1, Dane went through these things. He says that the men cried to the Lord, "Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for it." And then in verse 16, the man greatly feared the Lord. Who knows what happens to people when we pray for them? To pray for our neighbours next door and across the road, the people who sit near us in church. Prayer is the most powerful weapon that we have. As we sang in that great hymn, "It is well with my soul," written by a man who lost so many of his family in the wild storms of the sea. And you might be going through all sorts of storms at the moment. You might be going up and down in all sorts of situations, and you've prayed and you say, "But where's God in it all?" God is there, but he doesn't necessarily come when we think he should appear. We can pray in a service like this and realize that our prayers are always answered according to his purposes, not according to our selfishness. That doesn't stop us praying, because it's the best weapon that we ever have against evil. And God was always working in Jonah's situation, because you'll notice that he says, "Yet I will look again toward your holy temple." Somehow in Jonah's tumultuous turmoil, up and down life of trying to escape everything from God, he knew that he would look again at God's temple. You know, God never says, "Oops." He never says, "Oh, I didn't mean that to happen." He never says, "Oh, how are we going to sort that out?" He never calls an angel for advice. So where is God in the turmoil of your life and mine when we pray and things maybe don't happen? He's right with us. He says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." But I don't sense his presence. But it's by faith. God doesn't guide us in ways that there's no tumult or no storms. And he doesn't always answer our prayers in the way we think he should. And you still have to go through the storm. When I was a little boy in Sydney, I used to love travelling on the Manly Ferry between Circular Quay and Manly. It was during the war, and it tells you how old I am. And there was a submarine net across the harbour. And as ships, whether it was the Manly Ferry or larger ships, went through, they used to open these nets to go through. But one day I was going with my parents across to Manly, and a storm struck. Now, Manly ferries aren't very big, and it was tossing up and down. And always when you pass the heads, the Sydney heads, the boat reacts, the ship reacts to the heads. And I can still remember on this particular occasion, and I don't know whether I prayed or not, but I can remember on this particular occasion that the storm was so violent, it was so dark, I couldn't see the heads. And you can go through times like that in life when things close in upon you and you say, "How am I going to get through this? How am I going to get an answer to my prayer, and it's all dark. It's tumultuous. You're being tossed. You sit here this morning quietly, and no one's aware of it except God and you. But He's working. He's working in our lives to bring forth His purposes, and that's the wonderful thing about it. Jonah's descent into death is almost accomplished. He faces in verses 5 and 6 the roots of the mountains where the gates of Sheol are located. And you notice these words. Verse 5, the engulfing waters threatened me, the deep surrounded me, seaweed was wrapped around my head, and Pete mentioned that in the kids' talk. To the roots of the mountains I sank down. The earth beneath me barred me in forever. If you stop there, you say, that's the end of Jonah. And that's the end of you and me. And then the Bible says, but. And he's referring to God, but you brought my life up from the pit. O Lord, my God. And it's wonderful to trust him in the midst of those storms and turmoils. Jonah faces where the gates of Sheol, the way they're described, are supposed to be located. But you brought my life up from the pit. Now, will you notice that Jonah did nothing and could do nothing towards his rescue? But he did pray. He couldn't tickle the fish from inside, hoping that he'd get out that way. How he kept breathing, I don't know. But 3 days and three nights, he was in the belly of the fish. Submarine transport. And you're going through a rough time at the moment. You think, how am I going to get out of it? I've prayed. Why doesn't God answer? But God has his own way of answering. And he doesn't have a watch or a clock. He doesn't have angels coming to him and saying, Master, it's time that that prayer was answered. That person is going through extreme difficulties. He continues as the sovereign Lord to work purposes out for his glory. And one day we'll know why. His salvation was entirely by grace. By grace are you saved. Through faith, says the scriptures, not of yourselves. It is God at work in his grace. Why does God work that way? Why does God rescue people who I don't like or didn't like? Why does God do this? I don't know. I don't know. And I'm not sure we'll ever be able to ask him, but we'll know the answers. You see, we've got a great future to look forward to. People sometimes say to me, well, when you die, you'll see your wife, Jenny. And my reply is, yes, I think you're right, but the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says, in accordance with the Apostle Paul in Philippians, I have a desire to see Christ, which is far better. And in seeing Christ, all the mysteries of the scriptures and of my life, your life, will be clear. In God's time, we will know. But in the meantime, we're to pray and to trust him. Oh, but it's difficult. It's hard. I feel like giving up. We all go through that. But you persist. As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so the Son of Man was 3 days and three nights in the grave. But he arose. He's alive. And the great thing about Calvary and the cross is that it wasn't the end of Jesus, as the soldiers predicted. death has been conquered. It can never grab hold of us and keep us in its grasp. Because like this fish, there is a result, there is an answer, and we keep trusting in the midst of it all. Jonah says, yet you brought my life up from the pit. It was God who had to rescue him. All he could do was pray by grace alone. I need to ask you, my friends, how is your prayer life? Well, John, I'm busy. You know, I'm going to get round to it. Yeah, I understand that. I've been in that situation. But do you pray? Do you hold on to God in your life? And as a married couple, do you pray together? Do you cry out to God for each other as well as for yourself? Because apart from that, there is no other answer. If we give up praying, the church is finished. The church continues by God's grace alone. The fact that he's sovereign. It's not our work in the church. It's not our personalities. It's not our abilities. It's not our experience. That all has its place. It is God at work as we trust him and depend upon him and cry out to him. Well, it's time to finish, isn't it? So how do we conclude? Well, will you notice verse 10? Jonah leads to this. I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. He's still praying. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. That was the end of his prayer and the beginning of God's doing something. Now, God wasn't on holidays when Jonah was in the fish. He wasn't fishing somewhere else. God was with Jonah in the fish. But Jonah wasn't aware of that. And God is with you in your situation. The chapter finishes, the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Amazing. The Lord spoke to the fish because he controls nature and every living thing. He commanded the fish, and the fish swam to the right beach and vomited Jonah on dry land. Jonah did not have to swim ashore. Well, he couldn't swim, for God is perfect in all his actions. The fish opened its mouth, and Jonah found himself on the beach. Ah, now life's going to be good. Did he learn his lesson? Well, Jonah was from Israel, the Jewish people, as a prophet, and God told him to go to the Ninevites, Gentiles, like you and me, one of the cruelest races that have ever lived on planet Earth. They had an interesting way of dealing with their enemies. They would put hooks through them and then attach them to chariots and start the horses. And if you wanted to keep up with your body, you had to move fast. They are known in history as the most violent race of people. No wonder Jonah didn't want to go and see them. But God said, I want you to go. And you'll have to come back next week to find out what happened. Because it's an amazing story. This man, in one sense, never learnt the right lesson. All that he went through as a prophet, he didn't come to perfection. He didn't come to, oh, I did it. He was still struggling with the issues of what it means to obey God. Jonah's hostility towards the Ninevites was still in his heart. You'll have to come and listen to the next 2 weeks to find out what happened, because God's purposes as sovereign will still be at work in our lives. My encouragement to you, as it is to myself, is to trust him no matter what. Are you going through a rough time? Yes. Are you finding that things are more difficult than they were? Yes. Are you finding that age, when you get on in years, brings all sorts of things that you didn't expect to happen? Yes. You going through sickness or death or difficulty? You trust him, because God alone is the one who can bring the answers. And what he does is not just give us answers, he gives us himself. Let's pray. Our Father, we're not perfect people. We struggle. We reply to questions like, how are you today? Oh, I'm fine, thank you. And we're not fine at all. We're aching and broken. We don't know what to do and how to persist, how to go on. We're just like Jonah was inside the fish at times. Or maybe we were like he was, trying to escape by going down and going to sleep. Father, you're aware of all of us. We thank you that we can trust you in every situation of life, for your glory, in the name of Christ. Amen.